This Shabbos is Parshas Tzav. Most of the time, I think, Parshas Tzav is Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos before Pesach. Why does that turn out to be the case? So, I think Rav Soloveitchik used to say, traditionally in Europe, he used to say, because in Parshas Tzav, you have the dinim of Hagola. And Hagola plays a major role in Hilchas Pesach, in the Gemara Maseches Pesach. Where do you have the dinim of Hagola in Parshas Tzav? It says in the Chumash, if you cooked a korban chatas in a pot, you have to do merikah shtifa. Means chatas nechel yom v'layla, min haTorah all night long, and midirabbanan by chatzos, k'dei l'harchik kesodam min haAveira. So you finish eating the korban chatas, you wash out the pot, and then when it comes alos haShachar, et chatzos in arlari, but when it comes alos haShachar, the bli in the pot becomes nicer. These are nice as chal on the bli on the pot. That's a surprising chiddush that you have in the pasuk. These are nice can not only be chal on flesh or mincha, a korban that's sitting in front of you, that's bien. These are nice can be chal on a bli in a pot. So what's going to be the tragedy? So then tomorrow someone else is going to bring another korban chatas, cook it in the same pot. It just became a treif of pot when it became alos al shachar, now and a half before sunrise. So someone else brings a korban chatas 7:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. He's going to cook it in the same pot that you cooked the chatas yesterday. What could be wrong? And tomorrow's korban chatas becomes treif because of the bliya from today's korban chatas. So the Torah has a din, umorak v'shuta b'mayim. You have to have mariko shtifa. What does it mean, mariko shtifa? The Gemara says, b'chamen u'b'tzoynen. Strictly speaking, when you do hagol, all you have to do is b'chamen. You have to do hagol and burning hot water, mayim roischim. Mayim roischim is 212. Bubbling hot means Mala Resicha is 212. But Moshe, there are some locations, if you live in a very high elevation above the ground level, the water is going to evaporate, it's going to disappear before it reaches 212. So it's something close to 212, something like 190, something like that. Yeah, that's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say there's a chocolate factory, they make milchik chocolates. And the chocolates, you have to be careful not to cook it too hot. If you cook at 130, it's going to burn. It's not going to get cooked faster, the chocolate will burn. The chocolates, they cook at a temperature that's borderline yatzoledes. It's not so clear that it's even yatzoledes. So let's say we're machman that it is. We're machman that anything above 120 is considered yatzoledes. And the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he's machman that anything above 113 degrees is considered yatzoledes. Where did he get the gematria 113 degrees? Because the Gemara says, let's say I have a knife that I use many times for treifas. Then I shecht an animal with that knife. So everything is cold, nothing is hot. So the shaila is, a knife only makes treif if there's, if you have a dover charif with duchkir de sakina, then it makes treif. But if you don't have a dover charif, a behemoth is not a dover charif, a chicken is not a dover charif. If you don't have a dover charif, then you need yatzoledes. If it's below yatzoledes, that's called tzaydin. Above yatzoledes is called chamin, below yatzoledes is called tzaydin. So the Gemara has a machlokes in the first parak in Chulin. They say beis hashchita is the neck where you shech the animal. Is beis hashchita seach? Is it considered yatzoledes? The beis hashchita is tzayin. So the maskar is that the beis hashchita is tzayin. It doesn't make treif. There's a duch kiddush sakina, but there's no tziruf of a dov charev there. So we pass in beis hashchita is tzayin. So how high is the temperature on the neck that they're talking about? That is borderline, that one Amora held that it's Reseach, and we paskin that it's Zainan. So I think in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa has a footnote, so he refers you to the whole story. So they tested different animals. I think it turned out the goose is the hottest. When you shech deer and cows and chickens and turkeys, it's a little lower. The goose is the hottest, and the goose, I think, is 112. So the machlekes was 112 Fahrenheit, whether that's yatzaled. 113, that's a different story. So 1 degree higher, that's already, you have no hochocha from the Gemara, that's still tzaynen. So that's when it's machma 113. That's a little bit of a joke. That's a lot of a joke. 113, the body temperature is 98. If something is going to be 100 degrees, you can't even feel that it's hot. That's the same temperature as the body. It's you're not even going to feel that it's room temperature. No, the same as your hand. How are you going to feel that that's hot? So 113 is really a chum. So in the kashrus organizations here in America, the machmir for 120 above, and that's considered a chumra. Rav Soloveitchik used to say he tested at different times. He thinks that it's something between, I think he said 140 and 160. He thinks below 140 can't be yatzalah. So the kashrus organization, the machmir from 120 and up, that's called yatzal lettuce, and that will make a bliya. So the question is, let's say you cooked something, let's say you cooked the chocolates are borderline 120. Let's say you cooked the chocolates 121 degrees, milchi chocolates, then you want to kasher it. So you have to kasher it with 212? You have to kasher it. Or do you say, no, I'll do 130 degrees, maspik? Kibola kach polta. Maybe you say kibola kach polta. The same way it was balea, 121, so it'll be polita 121. So that's a machlokes. Most of the recent poskim in Shulchan Aruch says beferish that even if you know that it only became treif at 130, you have to kasher with 212. That's what it says. If the question is that a chumra mitam minig or is that mikra din? Let's say you have a machine that's made for chocolates. It can't reach 212 degrees. It's not made for anything else. It can't reach 212. So do you say that's talach? You always have to kasher with 212. Or do you say no? That's only a minik heichad efsher. Heichad efsher is not. So most of the recent poskim amekel that you say kebolachach polta on that. The real din kebolachach polta means a different thing. There are three ways to get a blia in a pot. One way is blia b'tzoinen al yedei kovush. If you soak some treifa liquid in a pot for 24 hours, so then it's bolea b'tzoinen. Another way is al yedei bishul. Another way is ayidei tzliya. Ayidei bishul, there's roitev. Ayidei tzliya, there's no roitev. So whatever the bliya is, let's say I broil treifa ham on a broiler. So then the only way to kasher is with libun. Because kibola kach polta is kaver, the form of kashering. If I cook the treifa meat in a pot with roitev, then you can kasher ayidei hagola. And if it's even less than that, it wasn't Sliya, B'liyam Tzos HaMayim, and it wasn't Bishul with Mayim, it was Ayidei Kovush, then the din is that you can kasher it, sometimes you can kasher it, Ayidei Mili Viri Gimel Yom. If you put, let's say I take the tray for pot, and I soak it in a bathtub for 24 hours plus, I change the water, and then I soak it another 24 hours, then I let out the water, I change the water a third time. So you say, that's called Mili Viri Gimel Yom. You soak the kli for 3 days, for 72 hours. That's why there are some who have the opinion that Kovish Kemavushal only applies if the treifa liquid was soaking in the pot for 72 hours. Because if it's Kovish, the Gemara's Lashon is Kovish Kemavushal, if you shore the treifas in the pot for Kula Yoyma, all day long, how long is all day long? So there are two opinions. All day long is 12 hours, the daytime of the day. All day long means 24 hours. Or somehow some Rishonim ignored the Lashon Gemara. Itoy leikuli yoma. They say no. Kavish kemavushal means it's soaking for 72 hours. V'haraya that when you want to kasher it, so the Gemara says you need mevili yamim. You have to soak it for 72 hours. It must be kabbalah kapalt. It must be in order to be balea. Has to be balea for 72 hours. So we paskin centrist Orthodox. We paskin the middle of the road sheet. We paskin 24 hours. We don't say 12 hours. We don't say 72 hours. And Yeridea, the accepted opinion is that Kovish Kamavushal is if it's soaking for 24 hours. Unless it's Kovish B'chai Mitzvitzir, so then it's Balea even much less. How much less? So that's a machloika. So the Tiferes Yisrael, Mishnayis writes, Shir Mil, 18 minutes. The other Achrenim say, where in the world did he get that idea from, that it's 18 minutes? Be'echetei said, they say it's much less. They say it's either 6 minutes or 8 minutes. That's we said, it's an Afkamina for Morer. A lot of people want to get all the bugs out of the morer, so if you soak it in water, it'll take a long time. You have to wash off to get off all the bugs. So a lot of times, if the bugs are still alive and you soak them in salt water, so then the bugs will be irritated. They don't like this salt, so then they're going to jump. So sometimes they'll jump if they're still alive. They may not be alive. So if the bugs are still alive, the worms are still alive, sometimes they'll jump out of the lettuce. Sometimes they'll dig their feet deeper into the romaine lettuce. So that the Kafachaim writes that it's not a smart idea to soak your moro, your romaine lettuce, in salt water, because if it's going to be kavish for 6 minutes, it's got to be kavish kemavushal, and mar hamavushal is possible, and kavish is also possible. So the guy will plant the silk and only for 2 minutes. He's going to be watching on the clock. Then he's going to get a phone call. Then his wife is going to ask him to take it. Then he's going to not realize, the 6 minutes are up, and he just made a kavish kemavushal. If you're going to soak it in water for a little bit, he's not going to forget and leave it for 24 hours. He planned to soak it in water for an hour or two and then to wash off all the bugs. He says, that's not shaykh. He's going to forget and leave it there for 24 hours, not shaykh. But to forget and leave it for 6 minutes instead of 2 minutes, that is shaykh, he's going to forget. So, getting back again, so there is a rule, kebola kach polta, but the real rule, kebola kach polta, doesn't mean however hot the temperature was when it was balea the trefas, that's how hot the temperature has to be when you do the Hagolah. Real kibbolah kachpota means different. That's kaveh, what form of kosherization you need. Do you need libun? Do you need Hagolah? Or is it good enough with mila v'hiri gimel yam, changing the water every 24 hours, three times 72 hours. But most of the recent posts from the Chazanish and Moshe Feinstein and Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank and many others, they're all mekel on this. Most of the overwhelming majority of the recent posts from mekel, they say that the insistence that says in the east of the Heter, the Shach and the Taskbot, the Kpeda, that even if the Belia was only 130 degree temperature, you have to do Hagolah with 212, 195 water. Rav Moshe writes a few times, Reshut Beis, you need 212 degrees in the water, it should be Mala Resicha. So the insistence that you need Mala Resicha, even if you know the Belia was only 130, that's only a Chumrah, that's only a Minigan Hechad, the Epsher. So you can do Hagolah with less. So the Chumash tells us that if you have a pot, a kederet, that you cook the Korban Chatas in today, you should eat up the Chatas Yom Malayla at Chatzos, but the Rabbanon. You have to eat it all up, then wash out the pot, then you put it away. The kosher, and everything was kosher, la mahadrim and a mahadrim. The pot sitting in the cabinet becomes straight when it comes alos al shachar, because the bliya is in the pot, and the isa noisa is chal on the bliya, in the pot, that's a chiddush. So the din is you have to do merika shtifa, you have to do, it's two versions of the gemara, which one is becham and which one is betzayin. But you have to have merika, you have to have hagola, you have to have hagola, and then you have to rinse it off with cold water. We have a minig that whenever you kasher a treif a kli, tesis on the last daf in Avodah Zarah, the last Amud Aleph in Avodah Zarah. The Mesicht ends on Amud Beis, but this tesis is on Amud Aleph. So the minig is, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, when you kasher a pat ha'idei ha'gola, after you finish kashering, you rinse it off with cold water. So tesis says, what in the world is that all about? Why do you rinse it off with cold water? The Samacharnim came up with an idea that unless you rinse it off with the cold water, the belia won't come out, some magical explanation. So Tosfos is groping, grasping for an explanation. They say they think it's just a zecher to Merika Shtifa. Then the Beis Hamikdash, if you had a pot that you cooked the Korban Chatas in, you have to do Merika Shtifa. It's a special mitzvah. But outside of pots that you cooked the Korban Chatas in, you just Mikra did, you just do Hagola Bechamin. So in the end of, so the Gemara, in the last daf in Avodah Zarah, the last Amud Aleph in Masechus Avodah Zarah, the Gemara is bothered with a kasha. How come in Parshas Tzav it only says Merika Shtifa means Hagola? And in the end, by Melchemes Midyan, the end of Chumash Bamidbar, it says if it's a broiler that they bidyonim broiled ham on, you need libun. And if it's a pot that they cook the treif soup in, it's good enough with Hagola. How come it doesn't say that in Parshas Tzav? So there's a machloikis, Abai v'Rava, what's the answer to the question? So Abai quotes a phrase from Sefer Yehov, Yagid Olav Reyo, Vozeh Belimer Alzeh. Once you get to the end of the Chumash Bamidbar, you read about Melchemes Midyan, you can do the kashering process on the Trefik Elim, so you come to the realization that a parsha is Tzavol, so sometimes you need Libun, and sometimes Hagol is enough. We don't paskin like Abai, it's not from the Al-Kagam, we paskin like Rova. Rova says, no, this is Hetera Bola, and that's Yisura Bola. If when I cooked the food in the pot, it was Yisura Bola, the Midyonim cooked ham in the pot. So then sometimes you need Libun, sometimes Hagolah is enough. But over here where it's a terabola, it cooked in Korban Chatas today, everything is kosher. The Issa Noiser is going to be chal on the bli on the pot when it comes Alos HaShachar tomorrow morning. So if you do Hagolah, that's enough. Whenever it's a terabola, Hagolah is enough.
So you do Hagolah in the daytime before the night?
So So that's a major machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, and it's two opinions in Tosfos. Tosfos in Zvachim has two days about that. The Rambam writes that you do the Hagola Ekev Achilo, Ayin Kuf Beis, Ekev Achilo. The Ravid says, I don't know what the word Ekev means. What does it mean, Ekev Achilo? Then the Ravid knows what the word means. He knows, but he's making fun of the Rambam. What is he talking about? The Rambam's opinion, you have to do the Hagola before it becomes dreif. So if you do Hagola on a kli that really needed libun, so you knocked out 99% of the bliya, you knocked out just a little bit left. So if I broiled the midyon and broiled trey for him, chazer on the kelim, so it was yisura bala. So if you're going to do Hagola instead of libun, there's still a bliya from the ham in it, because kibola kachpolta says that you need libun. So even though he did Hagola, the Isser already was Chal on it. So you have to do Libun. It's not enough with Hagola. But if you have Hetera Bola, I cooked the Chattas in the pot when it was Muta Bachila. And then I ate everything up, Bizman, and I washed out the pot. And then I do Hagola before the Zman, before the Isser is Chal. So I mean, the Rambam learns like that. Ekev Achila means immediately after the Achila. Ekev Tishmun. So the Rambam understood Ekev means soon after, right away, immediately following. So he says, you should kasha the pot, Ekev Achila, right after you finish eating it, within his man heter, before it becomes Isar. So if you do Hagol on a pot that needed Libun, so there's hardly any, there's only a Bliya Muetis left. Only a Bliya Muetis, so that's the halacha. The Isar Noisa cannot be Chal on a Tam Kolush. But if you're going to wait till after Alos HaShachar, then you're going to do the Hagola. Then it's not good enough. Then you're going to need Libun, because the Yisr was Chal already on the Bliya. It has to become a Tam Kolush before the Yisr was Chal. That's how the Rambam learns. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, what are you doing Hagola on a kosher pot? The Torah says you have to Hagola on a trefer pot. So he says you have to wait till after Alos HaShachar, and then, when it, after it becomes nice, and then you do Hagola. The Torah gives a mitzvah, a Marika Shtifa. Marika Shtifa is a mitzvah. When we do Hagola, we don't say a bracha. When they did Marika Shtifa, they probably said a bracha. You have to do Marika Shtifa in the Azara, I think. Things in Mishnah. You have to do Perak Dam Chattas. You have to do the Marika Shtifa in the Azara. By us, there's no din, you have to do Hagola in the Shul. Here in Broyas, they do Hagola in the Shul. But because it says, Hein la Hagola le bifnei bal Hagola. Should only do the Hagola in the presence of Talmud Chacham who knows Hilchas Hagola. And Yiddish, a Bal Hagola is an Amharetz, a Bal Agala, Ayin Gimel Lamedei. So if you say it quickly, Ein La Hagola L'Bifnei Bal Hagola, sounds you have to do the Hagola in the presence of a Moran, of Amharetz. So you have to say it slowly, Ein La Hagola L'Bifnei Bal Hagala. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. When do you do the Marika Shtifa? The Ravid holds you have to wait dafke till it becomes noise, till tomorrow morning, because the mitzvah of Marika Shtifa means tekasha the trefa. But, so according to the Ravid, why should it make a difference for this Hetera Bala, Isura Bala? We don't really understand. But according to the Rambam, and these are two opinions in terms, according to the Rambam, the Hagol is done when it's still this man heter, so then we understand. If whatever you do, Hagol on a kli that really needed Libun, all you have left is a Tam Kolush. That's the Lashon that the Rishonim use. So Nisa can't be Chal on a Tam Kolush. So the Gemara has another Kula in Hetera Bola. That's one Kula, that we pass like Robert, that you never need Libun. Hagola is always good enough.
According to the Ravid, why don't you have a problem of making Nosar?
Isn't there an Isser
to let something become Nosar?
There's a mitzvah to eat up all the basar and not to let it become Nosar. But if you can't eat the Bliya and the pot, so you didn't do anything wrong. You can't eat it. L'sasirim nenu, adbaika means, see to it that somebody eats it up. Everybody ate everything up, then we washed out the pot. So we're not mechuyev to chew the pot. Yeah. So the Gemara has another distinction between hetera bol isura bola, the din of not by not. So not by not, I'll be pashtus, is like this, we'll soon modify. Let's say I have a milchik pot, and I cook parva soup in the milchik pot. So do you say the parva soup is still parva? So I can serve it in a fleshy bowl, and I can pour in flesh. Or they say, no, the parva soup became milchik because he cooked in the milchik pot. So the Gemara says that's called nisen tam bar nisen tam. The pot is milchik, it has a bliya milchik in the walls. I cooked milk in the pot this morning for breakfast. Then I washed it out. So you only have a nisenas tam of the milk in the pot. Then I'm not eating the pot. I cooked parva soup, I cooked vegetable soup in the pot. So the bliya from the walls of the pot went into the vegetable soup, and it's still not treif. It's still not treif. It's nice and tam, bar nice and tam. That's the Rosh Yitevis and Yeridim. Not bar not, it's a nice and tam, bar nice and tam. So the Gemara says, not bar not, the hetera is mutter. Why? So the Ran explains why. What's the reason why there's a difference between hetera bali, sura bali regarding hagol and libun? Because an isli can't be chal on a tam kolish. If you do hagol on a kli that really needed libun, it knocks out Ruba the Ruba of the Tam, all you have left is a little bit of Tam Kolish, and we assume the Issa can't be Chal on a Tam Kolish. Whenever you have a Nat Bar Nat, it's also a Tam Kolish. There was a Milchik Bli in the pot, then I cooked vegetable soup in the pot, so the Milchik Bli goes from the pot into the vegetable soup. So, and it's still Mutter. So how much flavor is there already? The whole thing is a Tam Kolish. Now you want to say you're gonna put it in the Fleishik bowl, you're going to put in chicken also. Going to say, oh, it just became bas b'chol. Nah, it's only a tam kolish. A tam kolish, the isa can't be chal. The isa bas b'chol can't be chal on a tam kolish. So the Ran on the Rif has a long explanation. In Perikol Abasa, the Ran explains how these two dinim are one and the same. That you never need libun and not barat that teres mutter. It's the same din. Whenever the tam is a tam kolish, and isa can't be chal on it. If you have not barat the yisura, that would asa. Let's say so a goy cooked chazer in a pot for breakfast. And then someone cooks vegetable soup in the same pot an hour later, so the vegetable soup becomes treif. Then he pours the vegetable soup into another pot. And so that pot becomes treif. And not by not, by not, by not. You can answer everything until you have shishim. You'll reach a point where you're going to have shishim against the tam. So it won't answer. Because man, you don't have shishim. Not by not, the isur is asur. There's a question in the Prima Gaudim whether not by not, the isur is an isur. There is an isur, there are both. But it's also, but not barat that teres mutter. So I said you have to modify a little bit. Rashi had a son-in-law known as the Rivon. I think at the end of Makkos it says Kan Meis Rashi, and they have the Pirush Rivon printed in the end of Maseches Makkos. So the Rivon every so often quotes something in the name of Rashi. He claims that Rashi said that not by not the hetera is only mutter in the case in the Gemara dogm she'olo b'kairo. Means I just fried a fish and I put the fish on a fleshic plate which is cold. So the fish is burning hot and the plate is cold. So dogm she'olo b'kairo don't become fleshic. Mutter lochlem b'kutach. I'm permitted to pour in cheese and milk and cream into the dogm now. But dogm she'n is bashle b'kdeira shol basar. If I cooked it, they're both cham, I cooked the parva soup in the fleshig pot, then not by not aide bishul would be fleshig, or would be milch. That's the Rivon b'shem Rashi. So Tosis thinks that he must have had wax in his ears, he must have misheard, he can't be. The sons-in-law are not necessarily reliable to say over what their father-in-law said. So l'chatchila, the Ashkenazim, ha-machmir, the Sfardim, just reject the whole thing. Not by not that there is mutter. Even Aide Bishul, Shachja says, L'chatchili shouldn't do it. Svardim shouldn't cook the vegetable soup in a milchig pot, planning to pour this vegetable soup in, to mix it in with flesh. L'chatchili, they shouldn't do it. It's like aim about the Nisa L'chatchili. But B'dievet, if you did it already, then it's mutter L'chatchili to put in flesh. Even not Panat Aide Bishul is also mutter L'chatchili. It means if you cooked it already, it's mutter L'chatchili to put in flesh. And there are more. Says that Ashkenazim achoshish for what the Rivon said, that not by not aide bishul should be also. So we're only making of his dogm shaola b'kara, not dogm shen is bashla b'kara.
What if one is posting Ashkenazim and is planning to do not by not that tera without thinking about the Rivon? Does one have to tell the Ashkenazim that?
If what's happening?
One is planning to post Ashkenazim.
Just party
in his party home.
Oh yeah.
Does he have to tell the Ashkenazim that they're planning on not relying, not being kosher for the Rivon?
Yeah, that's not right. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Nachon, you shouldn't do that.
when the Ran explains why, explains that gives you assume like the Rambam or the Rabbi?
The Ran, I'll be partially assuming like the Rambam, that the Hagola, the Merikah Shtif, has to be done before the Issa sets in. According to the Rabbi, that you have to wait till after the Issa set in, so why shouldn't it make a difference at Terabali, Surabali? The Ran's whole explanation only makes sense according to the Rambam. That if you do Hagol instead of Liban, all you have left is a Tam Kolush, and you can't have an Issa Chal on a Tam Kolush. For the Issa to be Chal, has to be Tam on a Tam, has to be Chal on a Tam Bari, on a strong Tam. Yeah, the Ran is assuming like the Rambam. Yeridei, we're assuming like the Rambam, not like the Rabbi. That is correct. So the din of not Barnat the Hetera appears in the Gemara for Fleshings and Milchiks. Obviously, if you have a fleshing pot, that's a terrible. If you have a milchik pot, it's a terrible. So the other kula should also, according to the Ran, it's one and the same kula. If you do hagol instead of libun, so all you'll have left is a tam kolish, and tam kolish and isa can be chal. So let's say you had a fleshing broiler and you want to make it parva. You want to make it milchik. So you should say you never need libun. It should be enough with hagol. If the broiler was used for him, so that's Isura Bala, so then the Torah says in Parshas Gyuli Klei Midyan, you need Libun. But if the broiler was only, always used for kosher food, it was just used for cheeseburgers, it was used for fleishig hamburgers, kosher, it was used for kosher fleishig, kosher milchig, a Terah Bala, so you should say that Hagola should be enough. The problem is the Shach says not so. The Shach Nyeridei says that if you have a broiler, that you broil fleishig, so cheese on, you have to do Libun. So Ramosha Farshan says, we don't paskin like the Shach. We paskin like Rabbi Kiveger. Doruch HaShulchan also says, we don't paskin like the Shach. It's not correct. The Rashash in Pesachim has a whole teretz. He tries to defend the Shach. Why you need Libun on the Fleshig broiler. But the Pashtus is, like Rabbi Kiveger said, like Doruch HaShulchan said, we don't accept that Shach. So Chometz, but Pesach, that's a machlokes. Chometz all year long is kosher. So the Rabbi Natam has a kashan, daf lamed, in Pesachim. The Gemara in the first parak in Chulin, in a Tosefta like that, talks about knives requiring libun. Why do you need libun for a treif, a knife? Because sometimes they used to use the knife on top of the rotisserie. When it's mamish b'liam tzos hamayim, they had a thing broiling on the fire. They would take a knife and cut the thing while it's still on the fire. And there was no mtzos hamayim, there was no reitiv, there was no mashka over there. So the din is that you need libun. You look in Pesachim on daf lamed, it says, you know, what do you do with the chometz tikka knives of Pesach? You do hagolah. How can it be hagolah? But it says in chul in the first perek, you need libun. Rabbi Natam says, because chometz all year long is kosher, it's hetera bola. So hetera bola, that's the machlokes habayi v'rava. We paskin like rava, it's not from the Yal Kagam, paskin like rava. Whenever it's a terabola, it says in Parsha Sav, Mariko Shtifa, even if it's a broiler, it's enough Mariko Shtifa, because it's a terabola. So Chometz, when you want a kasha kelim for Pesach, it's always good enough with Hagolah. You never need Libun. The Ran on the Rif, on the Aflamet, quotes the Ramban, who disagrees with the Rabbi Natam. And he thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that a terabola means like you cooked a chatos in a pot, so today the chatos is not noiser. It doesn't get the shame noiser until tomorrow morning. When it comes out those al shachar, tomorrow morning, then it's called noiser. Today it's not, ain't shmoy olav. Basel b'cholav. I had a fleshik pot, and I'm kashering the fleshik pot before it becomes basel b'cholav. So I did a hagola on a broiler that really needed libun, so all that's left is a tam kolush. So Nisa, Basa B'chol can't be chal on a tam kolish. It's good enough. You do hagola on a fleshig broiler, you don't have to do libum. But by chametz, it was chametz. All year long it is chametz. What do you mean, hetera bola? What does it help that chametz is only osar apes and mutu all year long? But chametz, he says, is shmai olam. What do you mean, the shem chametz can't be chal on a tam kolish? Everybody had a shem chametz. All year long has a shem chametz. That's the Ramban's time. So the Ramban disagrees with Rabbi Natam. So he holds that you do need libun. If you have a baking tin, a lot of people have baking tins all year long. They bake chametz dikka cookies, they bake chametz dikka challahs. And then Pesach, they want to kasher the baking tin. So in Shulchan Aruch, they write like the Ramban, that you need libun. It's not enough hagola. A baking tin, you need libun. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch has adopted Shitas Ramban. The chametz is isura bala, it's not hetera bala. So there's a stira in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have not bar not the hetera, then it's muta kodem apet. Not bar not of chametz is muta. For example, Taisvis in Chulin, Taisvis in the end of Avodah Zarah raises an issue. When you do hagola on a treif of pot, so the treif of bliya goes into the water. What's to prevent the treif of bliya from coming back into the pot? So one opinion of Taisvis is no. The pot will be balea other bliyas, but the pot's not going to be balea back the bliya that it just spit out. That's not going to happen. So Taisvis says, v'chichul b'neviyahi, what the pot has ruach HaKodesh, it knows to discern between a bliya that it just spit out as opposed to a bliya that was there from before. It doesn't, it's not mistaber at all. So Taisus says, no, it's a problem. Whenever you kasher a treif of pot, you have to have shishim in the water against the bliya that could possibly come out. So when the bliya goes out, there's nothing preventing it from coming back in. But it would mean there's batel b'shishim before it has a chance to come back in. So it's batel b'shishim, so it can't asa. And if you don't have shishim, if it's a gigantic pot, then you're not going to have shishim in the water connected to the bliya that may possibly come in, be coming out. Then you have to wait to kasher the pot till it's Zeina Ben Yoma. Once a treif is clear, Zeina Ben Yoma hasn't been used for treifas in 24 hours, but not only you're allowed to use it the way it is, because the whole bliya is going to be nice in Tam Lev Gam. It's only a din de Rabbanon, a gzeira Zeina Ben Yoma, Ota Ben Yoma. That's the last stuff in Abba Dezor. You shouldn't use a treif is clear even Zeina Ben Yoma without kashering it first. So the Tosu says, if you kasher a treif is clear that's in Zeina Ben Yoma, so the treif is clear is going to go into the water, nothing preventing it from coming back in. When it comes back in, it's nice and tam lugam, so I don't have to worry about it. So why do you have to kasher the pot in the first place? The bliya is ein ben yomo. The answer is no. The tchilas habliya was l'shvach. That was the gzera de rabbanim. Whenever the tchilas habliya was l'shvach, even though now it's ready after 24 hours, now the bliya is nice and tam lugam, but that's gzera ein ben yomo to ben yom. But if the tchilas habliya is going to be l'fgam, then there never was a gzera de rabbanim. So if you're going to do hagola on a kli she'ena ben yoma, the treif of bliya will go into the water. There's nothing preventing it from coming back in. But when it comes back in, the tchilas habliya is levgam, so you don't have to worry about that. So Tosfos says, that's the din in Yeridea. That was a din that was observed for so many centuries. When you want to kasher a treif of pot, you have to either see to it that you have shishim in the water, or you have to see to it that the kli should be in ena ben yoma. So then Tosfos says, b'medvar ma'amurim, that's by all other treifas. But if you're kashering a pot for Pesach, you neither require shishim, nor do you require that it should be ein ben yomo, because if the pot is clean, the bliya is going to go from the pot into the water, and then it's going to go from the water back into the pot, nothing preventing it from going back. That's going to be not bar not bar not. And even if you're machma like the Yivam Mishem Rashi, that not bar not, the hetera, is also a bishul, if you cook the vegetable soup in a fleshik pot, the vegetable soup becomes fleshik. Cook the vegetable parva soup in a milchik pot, the vegetable soup becomes milchik. That's only if it's not barnat. But if it's not barnat, barnat, even the Rivan Tzchumah doesn't apply. So this is, the Shach goes through this in a few places in Yeridea. Why chometz de kekelim can be kashered even when it is ben yom, or even though you don't have shishim, it's going to be a not barnat, the hetera, and it's mutam. So the Shulchan Aruch assumes that chometz kodem ha-pesach is hetera bala, with respect to not by not by not. And then the Shulchan Aruch says that you need libun. So that's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. So this, the standard Mefarshim, abadad with the Kashan, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz, and the Bir Agro. So for many centuries, it was always assumed that when the Shulchan Aruch says that you need libun, and the Chometz Dikei Kelim, that's only Lechum. Mi'ikir Adin, it's really good enough on Gola, because Mi'ikir Adin, we really pass, and the Chometz Kodim HaPesach is Hetera Bola. Came the Mishnah Berurah, after several centuries of everybody following what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, came the Mishnah Berurah, and he reverses the Pesach, and he got away with it. And now everybody writes all the books as if they overturn 8 centuries of history, of Jewish history. Everybody always did like that. You always kashed chametz di kekelim, and it is ben yom, and there is no shishim, because it's a not by not by not there. So the Mishnah Berurah says no. That since we paskin that you need libun, that shows that we adopted the Shita Saramban, the Chametz Kodem HaPesach, Chametz Shmoy Olav, it's Isura Bala. So therefore, you cannot kasher the Chametz Di Kekelim unless you have Shishim, unless you have Eidah Ben Yom. Because we paskin that it's Isura Bala. That's very strange. Mishnah Berurah overturned a psak hamekubal that was observed for centuries like that. Very, very strange.
How are we supposed to calculate how much shishim?
The Gemara says you can never tell how much treifa bli is coming out from a pot, so you have to be mishar keneged kulo, keneged the whole thickness of the pot. And then we assume that it's very rare to have, if you have a metal pot, it's very rare to have shishim in the soup in the pot keneged the thickness of the walls. Unless, let's say, it's a big factory and the pot is the size of this room. So, and the volume is all the way up to the ceiling, so then you're going to have shishim. Or if you have a very Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have pots the size of the room like now. In industrial kashrus, you have factories, gigantic vats. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they would sometimes have a very big pot and the walls would be very thin. But once in a while, there would be shishin. In the contents of the pot can egged the whole thickness of the walls. But because we don't know, so you have to be mishari, can egged kula, can egged the whole thickness of the wall. We assume that you always have shloshim, but you rarely have shishim.
Why isn't that a violation of the Ein Rav?
What should be a violation?
When are you going to be reminded of the pot by putting in shishim, so we don't want the bleeders to come out.
We're going to pour out the water. Ein Rav Nisim lahatchila means I'm going to mevatla nisim in the water, then I'm going to drink the water. I'm going to pour a little chaz d'shmaltz into the soup, and I'm going to eat the soup. Here, I'm going to pour out all the water that has the treif of bliya in it. I'm not going to use that water. Ein mevat nisim lachatchil is only if kavanasa levatal. You're interested in using it. The guy's going to throw the whole thing out. That's not ein mevat nisim lachatchil. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to light candles. It's a malocha, lamates malochas. Everybody knows you light the candles on Erev Shabbos. On Yom Tov, if it's dark in the house, you're permitted to light candles. We don't permit moilad esh mechodesh. That's a mishnah. You're not allowed to strike a match. That's a machlekes, whether that's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. The Taz came up with a chiddush based on the Rambam that moilad esh mechodesh is an isa d'oraisa. The Taz's opinion has not been accepted. We assume that moilad esh mechodesh is only an isa d'rabbanan. On the level of d'oraisa, it doesn't make a difference whether you strike a match or you have a fire. You throw a piece of fuel into the fire, and it causes it to burn. The Yisra of Havara is not to create a fire. It's the same Yisra, to cause something to burn, whether he created the fire or didn't create the fire. So we assume not like the Taz. We assume Moilad Esh Mechodesh is only the Rabban. In Afkamina, let's say it's dark in the house on Yom Tov. They forgot to benchlich, they forgot to set the lights on. Are you permitted to ask a Nachri to turn on the lights? So we assume that there would be a Shvuz de Shvuz B'makom Mitzvah. It's dark in the house. Amir Le'Nachri is the Rabbanim. Moilad Esh Mechodesh is only the Rabbanim. So we would say that that's a Shvuz de Shvuz B'makom Mitzvah. And it's Mutter. So the Shaila is, on Yom Tov, if you're allowed to light a candle from an already existing fire, so many have the practice that the Balabasta waits till the husband comes home from Shul, and then she benches Licht right before the husband says Kiddush. Is that correct? Or is it more correct to light the candles an Erev Yom Tov, to be Moshe Mechayel on HaKodesh? That's what a big discussion. The Pre-Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Petaburger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, he was one of the three most outstanding Talmidim, Rabbi Sol Salanter, and he was the strongest in learning. From the three Talmidim, from the three most outstanding, he was the strongest in learning. So he has Chuvas, Pre-Yitzchak, very strong Chuvas. His style of his Jewish, he does like detective work. There's a Rashba, so he'll research. What does the Rashba say in the Jewish? What does the Rashba say in the Chidushin? Puts together all the Rashbas and then, wow, now you know what the Rashba said. He gives you a whole picture of everything. He comes up with a lot of coolest based on the research. You can't argue with him. He's very strong. So he has a strong Jewish where he says that it's not proper to wait till the husband comes home. Rav Soloveitchik also said like that. He didn't refer to the Chuvas Pre-Yitzchak, but he said the same. The Rambam writes that Hadlokas Haneris, at the end of Hilchos Shabbos, Rambam writes Hadlokas Haneris is a kibum. One place he writes that it's kibum, one place he writes that it's oneg. What is kibum? One is oneg. So the Birag Ran Hilchos Simchas Yontev gives you the definition. Hilchos Shabbos he doesn't write. Hilchos Simchas Yontev, Birag Ran tells you the definition is kibud means all achanas that you do in advance of Shabbos. Oneg means that the pleasure that you have on Shabbos. When you vacuum the rug and you set the table and you take a shower and you put up the chalmen, and you light the candles on Erev Shabbos, that's kippur. Then on Shabbos, you enjoy the food, and you enjoy the fact that the house is lit up. So that's oineg. And the Rambam writes that just like the zinin of kippur v'yoineg on Shabbos, across of the Shabbos oineg, v'kdosh Hashem v'chupad, where's that pasuk in Yishayim? So that just like the zinin of kippur v'yoineg on Shabbos, so too the zinin of kippur v'yoineg on Yontav, it carries over to you. Everybody knows the Rambam. Most people don't remember that the Gemara is a fakir from the Rambam. The Gemara is beferish that kippur v'yoineg is only on Shabbos, not on Yontav. But the Rambam somehow has become more beforesome than the Gemara. So the Rambam writes that the dinim of kippur v'yoineg carry over from Shabbos to Yontav. So if hadlokas haner is both a fulfillment of kibud and oineg, so on Yontav also you should really light haner of Yontav. It's not right to light on the El Yontav. You'll be lacking the mitzvah of kibud. It's really be meisim mechol al hakodesh. They should light before. Many of the women have the practice when they light neiris for erev Yontav, they say the bracha shachyana. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Shulchan Aruch, I think Rabbi Kibbeke quotes Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right? So it's not really right to say shachyana when you light the neiris, because the Gemara says the husband can also say shachyana amra fila bashuk. That's the Gemara in Ervin, af mem on the base. You can say shachyana when you're walking in the street. It really has nothing to do with the Kiddush. But the Gemara says if you recite shachyana while akos, at the end of the Kiddush, you will enhance the chashivas of the shachyana bracha. It'll be converted into a bracha al akos. So the Gemara says, so rather than say shachyana when you're walking in the street, so you say it al akos. And the Yom Kippur, there is no kos to say it over. So everybody says shachyana in the shul. That's Imra Fila Bashuk. But the women, why should the women say shachyana when they're benching lech? They should do the same. The men can also say shachyana in shul. But we don't do that. We say the shachyana till you recite the Kiddush al akos. So it's not really right that the women do like that. But many of the women have that practice. They say shachyana when they bench lech. So that's a big hullabaloo in the recent form. From the last 75 years or so, if the wife said shachyana when she lit the candle, she didn't listen to the husband who tells her not to say shachyana. So then when the husband says kiddush and he says shachyana, and the wife says amen, is that a hefsek in between the bar piagofen and the drinking of the wine? Usually it's not a hefsek when you say yayin and kiddush. But if the wife has already yotzei shachyana with the hadlaka, with b'shas hadlaka, so why is she answering amen over here? So that's a whole asik. So more correct is that they should say shachyana. There's a din when you light candles on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, whenever you light. Tesis asks Akasha if I'm a madlikin. The Gemara has a lashon in the beginning of a madlikin. One of the Amoraim says, my opinion is that hadlakas on Erev b'shabbos is a chayva. What does that mean, chayva? So Tosfos has one opinion, that chayva as opposed to mitzvah has the connotation, my machreinim is chayva, my machreinim is a mitzvah, my machreinim is a chayva. What's the mashmos? So Tosfos says in Kol HaBasar, Tosfos in Chulin says, my machreinim mitzvah, so you say birchus on mitzvah, shekir shana b'mitzvah, so v'tzivano on the tilus of that. My machreinim chayva is something you have to do for medical purposes, that you shouldn't rub the melech sedomis into your eyes. But since it's only a chayva, it's not a mitzvah, so a bracha is not to be recited. So that's the shayla. So when you light Neir Shabbos, so no bracha is recited, because the Gemara says, Shani Yomer, Hadlokas on Neir B'Shabbos is a chayva, so no bracha is recited. So that's one opinion of Taisus. The Gemara said, Shani Yomer, Hadlokas on Neir B'Shabbos is a chayva, means it's something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. We don't say a bracha when we vacuum the rug, you don't say bracha when you set the table, you don't say bracha when you put up the shon, you don't say bracha when you take a shower, when you get dressed, all the hachanas that you do for Shabbos, vanish tana hadlokas on there from the others. Why should you say bracha and hadlokas on there if you're not saying a bracha on the others? So some of the history books claim that the bracha of hadlokas on there on the Erev Shabbos was instituted by Zman HaGoyim when they were fighting with the Karaites. The Karoim used to sit in the dark on Shabbos, and they misinterpreted the pasuk that Lo Sivareish B'chol Mashvaseich Miyam Shabbos. You're not allowed to have any fires burning in the house on Shabbos. So they used to sit in a dark house. So the Chachamim, the Goyim, insisted the Karoim are wrong. That's not what it means. And not only is it permissible to leave lights on, it's a mitzvah, and you should say a bracha. That was to emphasize. Because the earliest source that we have that you say a bracha and halakas on there on Erev Shabbos is from the Tshuvas HaGoyim. You don't have it earlier. Tosfos claims that it's a Talmud Yerushalmi. says that there's a bracha on glaucus on there. There is no Talmud Yerushalmi. Every so often, Tosfos says Talmud Yerushalmi means it's an outside source, something other than the Bavli. But it's not necessarily, maybe it's from the Chuvas, from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, from the Goynei Eretz Yisrael.
The Hagav Maimonio says which parak it is in the Yerushalmi.
Who says?
The Hagav Maimonio, when he quotes it, he says parak.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but we don't have it.
So we have it. We don't have the Yerushalmi.
Possible. Possible. And others say they think it was instituted by the Goynei.
Doesn't the Rush have a cloud that we can't, we don't have Rishus to say a bracha that wasn't in the Gemara?
Yes.
So if we're no way to say it, how
can
it be it wasn't in the Gemara?
We say, every so often we say a bracha. Anos on the Yav Koyach also doesn't appear in the Gemara. So many people leave out Anos on the Yav Koyach. Kaddish Shimcha Barabim. So many don't say that. The Rosh in Ksubis in the first parak, yeah. When a couple, young couple gets married, the husband finds the Ambasulim, so they're going to compose the whole Nusach that should be recited, a bracha that you recite. So most people don't say it. And others do say it, even though it clearly wasn't, it didn't exist in the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. It was composed later in the days of the Goyim.
So should one not say, Hanos Mirakoch, but the Hashem offers?
Many don't say it, yeah. I come to Shul, I try to come to Shul early, so I have a Shabbos going. The Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, says, okay, so I say, Amen. I'm Yitzhak with his bracha. Whenever there's a Safik bracha, get a Shabbos going. Get someone else to say the bracha.
Are we choshish for the pre-chadosh by Baruch Shemar Nishtabach being a later institution?
Nah. It's a later institution. There would have been people who wouldn't have said it. That's hard to say. I think the Magen Avraham says that Baruch Shemar and Nishtabach were composed later. That brachas didn't exist in the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. Nah, we don't accept that. We assume, Mishkanos Yankiv has a whole tshuva. He says, we assume that they were composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. They have the same chashivas as any other bracha that was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. So, Tosfos raises this question, Manishtana, why should Hadlokas HaNeres be different from all the other hachanas that you do on Erev Shabbos? You don't say a bracha. Why should there be a bracha on Hadlokas HaNeres? The other one should be right. The other Bala Tosfos should be right. He interpreted in the Gemara, Shani Omer, Hadlokas HaNeres B'Shabbos Choyva, Chavi means it's not a mitzvah, no bracha is recited. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There are more quotes in Hilchas Hadlokas HaNeres on Erev Shabbos, that there's a difference between this achan and other achanas. Let's say if the elves came and they vacuumed the rug. So is there a mitzvah to throw dust and vacuum it again? The elves came and they set the table. The elves came and they cooked the macholam. Someone came and delivered all the food for Shabbos. Is there a mitzvah for the balabos to cook her own food? It's there already. The mitzvah b'yas mushuch, you don't have it. If it's there already, so there's no mitzvah. But if all the lights are on, so Tosfos says, you should turn off all the lights and turn it on again, the Shem Shabbos. So that's a special takana. That's Kvodim Shulchan Aruch. Special takana, Hadlokas HaNeres. You should turn off all the lights and be Madlok Neres, the Shem Shabbos. Yeah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. And they have it printed in the name of Rabbi Yaika Kamenetsky. I think Rav Moshe also has a tshuva like that. That in America, a lot of people have the electric lights on all day long. Then the balabasta comes into the room where they're going to eat on Friday night. And then she leaves all the lights on, she just lights the candles. She's not adding any illumination. That's what the Gemara calls Shraga B'tihara, Mayahani. The whole room is flooded with lights. So what does she add by lighting the candles? So more correct, they say, is you should turn on all the electric lights, then light the candles, and then turn on all the electric lights. And the bracha goes on everything. She really turn off all the lights. So that's Nicha on Erev Yontif. If your Madlik Neres, Erev Yontif Rishon, what do you do the second night of Yontif? So the solution is, we all belong in Eretz Yisrael, we shouldn't have any second night Yontif. So what are we going to do? What are you going to do when it's Yontif next to Shabbos? So even if Eretz Yisrael wants it a long while, they have a Yontif next to Shabbos. They don't have it as often as we do. They rarely have Erev Tavshin. That's why they're not so keen on the dinim of Erev Tavshin. By us, we have a couple of times a year, we have Erev Tavshin. There they hardly ever have Erev Tavshin. So that's the Shabbos. What do you do the second night Yontif? Or if you have 3 days in a row, what do you do 3 days in a row? On the third day, what you going to say? Had bracha and hadlokas on there. It's a shraga b'tihara. So some have the practice. You light the neres in a different room, not the place where you're going to eat the food. You light the neres in a different room where there are no lights burning. Usually, we leave on all the lights in all the rooms that we think we're going to need any lights. Where you going to put on a light in a room where you don't need a light? So where's the seichel there? So some don't light any candles on the second night. That's an issue. It's not a serious shot. It doesn't make sense to light candles when it's when the whole house is all lit up. A ner of Yontif, a lot of people will bring their talis to shul and their machzor to shul to avoid carrying it on Shabbos. If you have an Erev, so we assume there are two opinions in Tosfos, whether the Erev helps for Shabbos only, on Yontif, whatever you need, you're allowed to carry. Whatever you don't need, you shouldn't carry. So maybe an Erev doesn't need help on Yontif. So the minig is lahakal, that we assume you made an Erev for Shabbos, that's even good for Yontif. So if you have an Erev in the community that's a legitimate, acceptable Erev, then it's okay to carry the talis on Yontif. You can carry the talis on Shabbos, carry the mouse on Yontif. If you don't have an Erev and you're not allowed to carry, so that's a big question. The Chumash says you're permitted to do malach on Yontif, letzorech ochal nefesh. Then there's a machloikis, b'sham b'sil, that you say, l'paschal like b'sil, l'toich. L'toich, you have to judge each one of the 39 of his malachas. If this malach is ever mutter, if it's mutter to carry the tzorech ochal nefesh, let's say you want to have a picnic in the park. So you want to carry the food to the park to eat on Yontif. So l'toich that hoitzor sometimes mutter letzorech ochal nefesh, you're allowed to carry a tinuk lamuloi, a baby needs a bris, so you're allowed to carry on Yontif, even chutzla erev, or a sefer Torah likras boy, or a lulav lotzis boy. You're allowed to carry, that's the Mishnah. Machlok is b'sham and b'sil, is whether matim is a tinuk, there's a lulav, there's a sefer Torah. So we paskin the mitoich, yeah. So there's a question. Where did Basil get this idea from? That there's a head to mitoch. Any melocha that you're allowed to do, the tzorech achon nefesh, you're allowed to do the tzorech hayom tzas. How do they know that it's so? So there's a big discussion in Rishayim and Achrayim. The one who made a whole collection was Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. He learned by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. This sefer he wrote before he learned by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The Melechas Yontif, the sefer Melechna. He quotes everything under the sun. And after he learned by Rav Chaim, he changed a whole different style. He wrote the Imrei Moshe. That's real brisk. Malachas Yontif is not at all brisk. That's quite a matan Torah. It's all different style. So in the Sefer Malachas Yontif, Moshe Sokolovsky had a yeshiva, brisk. Rav Chaim did not have a yeshiva. Rav Chaim was the Rav. Rav Chaim was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. But then when he was in brisk, he was not the head of the yeshiva. Rav Moshe Sokolovsky was. So he quotes the Shit Mukubetzis in the first parak in Ksubis, quotes a Raivit. Some people know it from the Shita Mukubetzis directly. I do not. I know it from the Malachas Yontif. So the Malachas Yontif quotes, you look it up, really, it's really there. After I saw it in the Malachas Yontif, I saw it's really there in the Shita. So the Ravid says that the Mokar and the Chumash for this din, that you have Besil Hol, you can say Mitoich, is the word Lachem Lachol Tzarchechem. The Gemara at the end of Beitza, not at the end, Adav Chavav, the Gemara, Adav Chavches, the Gemara quotes, Hamachlek is Rabbi Yudah Nachachamim. Are you permitted to do Malach on Yontif for Machshirei Yochal Nefesh? Let's say the fork is broken. The fork broke on Yontif. Are you allowed to fix the fork? It's twisted out of shape. Are you allowed to fix the fork and fix the knife on Yontif in order to use it? So that's Hamachlek is Rabbi Yudah Nachachamim. So Rabbi Yudah holds Machshirei Yochal Nefesh is Mutta because we learn from the Pasuk Hulabada Yosol Lachem Lachem Lachol Tzarchechem is Marbe even more than Yochal Nefesh. But then since the pasuk says, "Hu levado," so that's a miut, so hu velo machshirin. So machshirin is not always mutta, sometimes mutta, sometimes osir. The Gemara says, whenever it's a epshalasa, it's been bod yom, then it's an isa deraisa. Then you're not allowed to fix it. If the fork broke before Yontif, and you had an opportunity to fix it before Yontif, you didn't bother to, then it's a din deraisa, you're not allowed to fix it on Yontif. But if the fork broke on Yontif, and there was no possibility to fix it before Yontif, it wasn't broken before Yontif, then Rabbi Yudah would agree that you're not allowed to do it. So the Ravid, quoted by the Shittim Lubetzah, says that that same word, Lachem, is the source of Besilo, that you say Mitoich, that since you're allowed to do Haitzor for Echal Nefesh, you want to have a picnic in the park, so we even permit you to carry a talis and your machzor, but it's only with the restriction of Yehef Shalasas Mbol Yom. So if you could have easily carried your talis to Shul, or you could have carried your machzor to Shul, and Erev Yontif, you didn't bother to, then you're not allowed to carry it on Yontif, unless there's an Erev. If there's an Erev, then it's a machlokes 2 days and Tosfos. And with Mekel, we assume that the Erev Echatzeres works not only for Shabbos, works for Yontif as well. So that's the Ravid. The Ravid says like that. The Raman Shulchan Aruch says not so. Raman Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to carry on Yontif, your talis and your machzi, even if you could have carried it, the talis, he said, you could have, even if you could have carried the talis, yom, still allowed to. Mustamas kedai to be choshish for the Ravid. Whatever you could have carried on Erev Yontif, you should really take care of. The Shaila is the machzer. The Gemara says, "Hamotzi chametz bebeisa beyontif." A person finds a bag of cookies in the middle of yontif, so it says Pesach, so it says kofal b'sakli, and then a chalamoid you should destroy it. By us, everything is different. We already sold the chametz to the goy, so you say you don't burn it. It's the goy's cookies. So you put it in the closet with all the other cookies that we sold to the goy. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have yet the institution of the chivas chametz, so the if you find the chametz, you kofal b'sakli till after Havdalah, and then on Chalamoy, then you burn it. So Tosfos says, why don't you burn it today on Yontif? Mitoich. The Gemara says, if you would hold like Mitoich, like Bishilo, then it would be mutter to burn the chametz on Pesach. So the Rashi in Pesachim is bothered with that kasha. The Tosfos is in Ksuvos. The Tosfos quotes Rashi in Pesachim and says, the kasha, he says, we're talking that the guy was mevatel the chametz already on Erev Pesach. Once you mevatel chametz, the need to destroy it is only by the rabbanon. Zeirish em yoichal mimenu. It's not menatur. Menatur. Once you mevatel, it's a menatur bebitul bial masagi. It's only by the rabbanon you have to burn it. So Rashi holds that since burning is a malocha deraisa, and here menatur there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah to destroy it is only by the rabbanon. So there is no mitoich. Atzarach hayam tzas means a mitzvah menatur allows you to do a malocha menatur. But since there's no mitzvah in Atar, because it's talking, he was mevatel already, so then you're not allowed to violate a melacha deraisa. So the Shagas Aryeh, and Tosfos doesn't like that Rashi. Tosfos rejects it. The same mitoch doesn't have to be a, the Rabbein Chananel sounds like he holds, mitoch is only mutter if it's a mitzvah sayoyim. Because the Mishnah in Beitza gives three examples of mitoch. One is a tinek, one is a sefer Torah, and one is a lulav. Rabbein Chananel says, tinek lamuloi, sefer Torah likris boi, and the lulav, Lotze's boy. What if you just want a chmeis? You want to have a good time? Is that also mitoch? Shalom letzorach mitzvah, but letzorach a young tzas amad letzorach. So Rabbeinu Chananel seems told, it's only mutter mitoch if it's a tzorach mitzvah. So if you hold like Rabbeinu Chananel, only mutter if it's a tzorach mitzvah, so then there's room to say like Rashi, it has to be a mitzvah deraisa. It's only mitzvah the Rabbanu doesn't count. But Tosfos says, even tinek letayel, doesn't have to be tinek lamula. Tinek letayel, you want to go for a stroll in the park. And you have no babysitter, so you want to take the baby also for a stroll in the park to get fresh air. It's not pikuach nefesh. You want to take the baby for a stroll. So Tosfos says, tinik latayel is also mutter. So that's why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Even if you're mevatel chametz before, the whole need to destroy it is only midirabbanan. A need midirabbanan is also a need. It doesn't have to be a mitzvah deraisa. So the Shagas Aryeh goes ahead and he paskens like Rashi. He thinks it should be machmer like Rashi. They're only allowed to do a malach on yontif. Letzorech mitzvah hayom it's a mitzvah deraisa. Mitzvah rabbani not allowed to. So that's a problem. Everybody carries a machzer to shul on yontif. The machzer is to be able to say piyutim or to bench tal. In a shul, but they don't say piyutim, but everybody benches tal. That piyut they do say. You don't need the machzer for the Shmona Esrei. The regular sitter also has the Shmona Esrei. A lot of people know the Shmona Esrei behind. Gimel Rishon Tzimah Achron. Zater bechatanu v'titan lanu yalu v'yavu v'asiyenu. It's not so complicated, the davening for yontif. So you only need the machzer for the piyutim, for benching tal. So that's not a din deraisa. So you shouldn't be allowed to carry the machzer on yontif. So the Acharim say, it doesn't necessarily mean that we haven't accepted the Shagas Aryeh. Because we assume, ein lanu b'shul seram deraisa b'zman hazeh. Well, yorish alanu, you don't have shishim ribo, so it's only hatzor derabbanan. It's only hatzor derabbanan, so then there's room to be makel, that you don't need a mitzvah in their eyes, but if you would have a real b'shul seram deraisa, maybe the correct practice should be we should follow the Shagas Aryeh. I think so. You should pass on like Rashi.
For Talmud Torah and Torah, we wouldn't do
a chavotza.
Learning from the Mafzer, saying
Piyutim,
if you were Talmud Torah,
according
to the
Samishonim. What Talmud Torah do you have in
a Mafzer? Piyutim. According to Samishonim, the purpose of the Piyutim is to say Talmud Torah when you couldn't, when there was a Shirah.
I mean the people, so the people know what it says in the Piyutim. Okay, if they're learning time.
Reading the Kriyat Torah, is Talmud Torah Minat Torah also?
No. If you read Tanakh, even if you don't understand it, the Baal HaTanya says that's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. You're reading a text from the Kisvei HaKodesh, but if you say Torah Shebaal Peh, that's only a mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you understand it. If you say Torah Shebaal Peh, you don't understand. Most of the people don't know what they're saying in the piyutim.
Right, so when they follow along during Kriyat HaTorah, though, that would also be Talmud Torah in the Torah.
Okay, if they're going to do that. If they carry the maps in order to follow along to learn, so that would be like a Sefer Torah Likras, but to learn, okay, that'll be Talmud Torah.
And you hold like, normal like those, so that Ahava Rava counts, because Kriyat Shema is like, I mean, also Talmud Torah. They read Kriyat Shema out of the mouth, so when they say Shachar, that also counts as Talmud Torah.
But they can say Kriyat Shema from a regular Siddur. They don't read that. They didn't have to carry the Machzor to Shul. The Machzor for the Piyutim says, the Piyutim have Talmud Torah. Okay, so if they're reading the English, or they understand the Piyutim, that's marvelous. Okay. So that's an issue, whether is it proper to carry the talis and the machzor to shul on Yontif, if you could have carried an Arab Yontif. So the Rabbit says it's not right, and the Ramor didn't have that Rabbit. The Ramor says that it's mutter.
Doesn't Rashi think that Minya or Aksi could carry even Shul Tzar Chalal on Beit Ziyad Beis? So if so, then why would he say that the mitzvah that you have to be able to do is Minya or Aksi?
Because when the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to Shul Tzar Chalal.
When they're Rabbanan, you have to have. They don't
get rid of the chalitz. That's what Rashi holds. Yeah. That's what he holds. Yeah. On Yontav, you have to empty, check your pockets also, because to carry Shalom the Tzarech is also. The Yisra Hatzor applies to Yontav, either Medatorah or Medirabbanim, one way or the other. According to Rashi, he says it's only Medirabbanim, Medatorah, you're allowed to carry even Shalom the Tzarech Lop. But bottom line, Allah Alamaisi, either Medatorah or Medirabbanim, you're not allowed to carry on Yontav. If it's legamri shalot itself, so you have to check your pockets to make sure that you're not carrying anything. The Gemara has a drasha in Beitza. Hu levado yos halachem lachem below la akum. You're not allowed to be mechala yontif l'tzorech hanochri. So that's why the Gemara has a din. You're not permitted to invite osa lezamas hanochri b'yontif. You're not permitted to invite a nochri to eat by you on yontif. Gzerishem yarbe b'shvilo. If an Achi walks into the house and he wants to eat, you don't have to ask him to leave. You can. The Gemara says you can allow him to stay. You just tell him whatever's on the table you can have. You're not allowed to ask for anything extra because it's our holiday and we're only allowed to cook for those who observe the holiday. You don't observe the holiday, we're not allowed to cook for you. That's the thing, lechem lo liyakum. But you're not allowed to, you shouldn't invite a Nochri. You should not invite a Nochri to eat by you and tell him he can only eat what's on the table. That's if he came on his own, uninvited, he came on his own. So then you don't have to throw them out, but you shouldn't invite the Nochri. So some people have non-Jewish relatives, so you're not supposed to invite them on Yom Tov. And if you're not in charge of inviting, if someone else is in charge of inviting, so you have to be careful. You're not allowed to cook bishvilim. Let's say they'll ask, can you make me a cup of coffee? So I'm going to fill up a kettle full of water and cook it on Yom Tov. Letzarech hanochri, that's not permissible. Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes hachreini. We have a din in the Gemara that a mumer dina kakum, that sometimes a Jew who violates roiv dini haTorah, or a Jew is machal Shabbos befehesia. So sometimes we say that dina kakum. What would you say over here also, that a mumer dina kakum? So he's included in lachem v'loli akum, and you're not allowed to invite the mumer to eat by you on yontif gzerishem yarbe b'shvilo. So the Magen Avraham has a machlokes about that. The Mishnah Brura doesn't want to quote the machlokes. He says that it's prohibited, you're not allowed to cook for him, you're not allowed to invite him. And usually in the footnotes, in the Sharatzin, he tells you what the mocker is. Once in a while, like over here, he just writes, Pashut. What do you mean Pashut? It's a machlekes in the Magen Avraham. It's not so Pashut. That's a strange Mishnah Brura, why he wrote like that. This is an issue. Sometimes people are pressured into inviting a Nochri to eat by them on Yom Tov. Sometimes government official, sometimes an ambassador, Eretz Yisrael or something. So sometimes a Jewish ambassador. So yeah, you have to invite a Nochri. So what do you do? So Dayan Grosnas has a tshuva about this. He used to be the Dayan in the London Bezin. So he has an interesting suggestion. He says in the hotels, let's say they have 1,000 guests. Every single guest is Jewish. So a lot of them are not Jewish. You have a lot of old people that come with their aides. So what do? You're not allowed to cook for the aid. So some of them are converts. Some of them didn't convert properly. You don't check to see everybody has a bris. So some of the men were converted. They never had a bris. They were converted by Reform rabbis. So how do you do that? So Dan Grossness thinks that all the cooking in the kitchen is done by Nachrim, which is usually the case in all the big hotels. The Nachrim do all the cooking. The Jews like the fires, that it shouldn't be an Isser or a Bishalakim. But all the cooking is done by the Nachrim, by the waiters, by the kitchen staff. So for all the cooking is done by the Nachrim, he suggests that maybe there's no Isser. Shalav the Zamanus on Nachrim. So if a person is in a predicament and he has to invite a Nachri to his home, he should see to it that instead of his wife being in charge of the kitchen, they should have Nachrim and Yantam. So Nachrim are in charge. So any extra cup of coffee that the Nachri guest will want, the Nachri in the kitchen will do the Bishul. The Bishul won't be done by the Jews. The Gemara says, you're permitted to invite a Nachri on Shabbos, Zamas on Nachri b'Shabbos, because we're not going to cook even for Jews, and we're not going to forget and cook for the Nachri. Only on Yontif. Heim Zamas on Nachri b'Yontif, because on Yontif we're permitted to cook for the Jews, and we may, by mistake, cook for the non-Jew as well. What do you do if it's Yontif? Shechavi is b'Shabbos. So I think if you would take a poll, I think most would assume Yontif Shechavi is b'Shabbos is Shabbos. We know we're not going to cook for the Jews, and we're not going to cook for the Nachri either. Shlomo Kluger, as a tshuva, he thinks that Yontif Shchalius B'Shabbos is Dina Ki Yontif, and you're not allowed to invite the Nachri. I thought it was a Shlomo Kluger, usually a Mekel. This was very surprising. It's in the tshuva of Elef L'cho Shlomo. He passed away, and he had a grandson who was named Shlomo Kluger after him. So the grandson did us all a favor. Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas are usually very long. So the grandson abridged over 1,000 tshuvas and put it in a small volume. Each tshuva just took the one or two paragraphs that are relevant, and he left out the whole pilpul. So it's fantastic. You get over 1,000 tshuvas in one volume. It's called Ha'elef L'chol Shlomo. And all Abachalka Shulchan Aruch. And Harachayim, Yeriday, each one separate. So he writes over there that he thinks that you're not permitted to invite a Nachri even on Yantab Shechol Yis B'Shav. So that's a chiddush. A very big chiddush. Yeah.
Why couldn't we just cook for the Nachri based on Marav B'Shira? If you're making a pot of soup, just make a bigger pot of soup, and that would mother a chatira.
Right. Tosis and the Rishonim work on that kasha. They have different answers. Tosis has one answer, the Rishonim have fancy answers. That's a very good question that needs a bit of a discussion. Yeah. Many have the practice on Yontif. After you finish cooking, you don't want the whole house to be hot because of the fires that are on in the kitchen. You're not allowed to put out the fire unnecessarily. So the people will lower the gas as long as the fire is still on. They won't turn off the gas, but they'll lower the gas. So that's a common practice. So the Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, he doesn't think that that's correct. He says, if you're not allowed to turn off the gas, then you're not allowed to lower it either, unless, let's say, if you have a pot of soup and the fire is very high, the soup is not going to cook faster, the soup will burn. If you have a kettle of water and the fire is very high, water is not going to burn. The water will get cooked faster. So there's no hetter to lower the fire when you're going to put a kettle of water on. But there would be a hetter, kibui, Rav Moshe holds that kibui is mutar, the tzorech ha'ochel nefesh. If you have a pot of soup and you want to reheat it, take it out of the refrigerator. You want to serve hot soup, and the fire is too high. So then Rav Moshe Paskins, you're permitted to lower the fire. That's keep with the tzorech ochel nefesh. He quotes the Mishnah Brura, says you should avoid that. That's a machlokes. Mishnah Brura says if you have a choice, you can either lower the burner or turn on another burner, melechatchila, lower. So you can either do havara, not moiler esh mechodesh, havara from a pilot light, Eish men Eish. You can either do Havar Lachal Nefesh or Kibbut Lachal Nefesh. And Mishnah Berurah quotes the Psak from the earlier Achrayim. It's preferable to do Havar Lachal Nefesh rather than to do the Kibbut Lachal Nefesh. Moshe quotes the Mishnah Berurah and he disagrees. He thinks he's doing the Malacha anyway, so what's the difference? But he can read then we pass on that Kibbut Lachal Nefesh is Mutter. So he says you're allowed to lower the flame. Then Moshe writes in his Tshuva, if you're not allowed to turn off the gas, then you're not allowed to lower it, unless it's tzorech ochel nefesh. And regarding whether it's mutter to turn off the gas, that's a different discussion. He's not going to write about that. So all the people from the east side, they all say that it's a davar yadua. Rav Moshe used to turn off the gas on Yontif because his son-in-law, Rav Moshe David Tendler, convinced him that it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because Tosfos says in Beitza, if you have a tall candle, that's going to burn, let's say, for 8 hours, candle this high. And then on Yontif, if you don't want to waste so much candle, you don't need it for so long. So you take a knife and you cut off the bottom few inches. So that's not called, that's not a kibui. Kibui is only if you have a cup of oil with a wick, then you put in a spoon, you take out some of the oil. So the Gemara says, HaMistapik ben Hashem Mishab Benair Chai Mishum Mechabeh. So Tosi says, why is it Mechabeh? It's going to go out a little earlier. They say, no. When you take out part of the oil, right away, immediately, the flame will become diminished. Something will happen right now. But if you have a tall candle, and you cut off the bottom few inches, nothing, it doesn't affect the flame at all now. It's just that it'll go out earlier. So that's not called kibbutz. I took away the potential fuel, and there's no more fuel to burn. That's not called kibbutz. So that's a Rabbi Tendler convinced Rabbi Moshe Feinstein that when you, the gas is coming from Poughkeepsie, or whatever, you turn off the fire, you're not, if you blow out the fire, that's kibbutz. But if you turn off the gas, he means the gas will no longer flow from Poughkeepsie. So that's all potential fuel. That's like the bottom of the candle. Let's say there's a fire in the room, and I have wooden furniture. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mechaber the fire. So I take all the chairs, I take all the furniture, I take all the swarm out of the room, I close the door. Then the fire dies a natural death. It has no more fuel to burn. So you say you did mechaber, because you took out the potential fuel, took out all the swarm, you took out all the wooden furniture, so you put the fire out. No, you took out potential fuel, and there's nothing to burn. So it died a natural death. You didn't extinguish the flame. So that's where Rabbi Tendler convinced Rabbi Moshe.
Isn't that much like the other case, where you're taking some of that oil away, and there's
So that's what many others are not happy about that. They think that right away there's an immediate effect right now. There used to be a Rebbe here in the neighborhood, Rabbi Friedler, Rabbi Naftali Friedler. He was the head of the yeshiva in Breuer's yeshiva. So when he first came to America from England, he learned in Schneider's yeshiva in England. When he first came to America, so he used to give shiurim for the young married couples, for the young men. So he was giving a shiur on Beitzah, so he gave a shiur. He said, if you're not allowed to turn it off the fire, you're not allowed to turn it lower either, unless you're afraid that the soup is going to burn. And the common practice was, everybody would turn the fire lower, as long as you don't turn it off. So he says, he gave the shiur on Shabbos afternoon. So he said, Matzoi Shabbos got a phone call, Rabbi Breuer, can you please come over? He comes over, Rabbi Breuer, so Rabbi Breuer says, I am the Mara the Asra here, I paskin all the shilas, and I paskin that it's mutter. So he said, I didn't paskin anything. I just said, based on the tesis, it would appear. So he says, Rabbi Breuer said, you have a good tasha? I don't know what the answer is, but the din is that it's mutter to lower the flame. So a week later, he called him up, and he showed him that Ksav Sofer has a tshuva about this. He explains why it's mutter. So this Rabbi Friedler was telling me, how fortunate I am. I teach in YU. You can say whatever you want here. It's a university. There's academic freedom. You can say whatever you want. No one's going to harass you. They're not going to call you Dr. Belka. They're not going to call you. So I'm the Mara d'Asra, and I pass. I'm not like you. Okay. A lot of milas to teach in a university. Years ago, there was a big machlokes, but you allowed to turn on an electric bulb on Yom Tov. Is that called Moileresh Mechodosh, or is that considered that it's not Moileresh Mechodosh? Yeah, now it's assumed that it's not permissible. You're not allowed to be Moileresh Mechodosh. On the first day Yontif, the Gemara says you're not allowed to make any hachonis for the second day. Not only you're not allowed to do a malocha on the first day for the second day, let's say to cook food on the first day for the second day, even to do a hachona is also not allowed. Let's say I expect a lot of guests to the second Seder, so I'm going to set up the table the afternoon on the first day to have all the 20 guests. We'll have plates and we'll have chairs. You're not allowed to do hachona either first day for the second day. That's what some point out. If you have food in the freezer that you want to use on the second day, so it's really not right to leave it in the freezer on the first day. Then the first day you're going to take it out. That's our hachana for the second day. You should really take it out from the freezer to the refrigerator on Erev Yontif, so that on the night of the second day you'll be able to warm it up. If you left it in the freezer on the first day, and you're going to wait till Matzoi Yontif Rishon, take it out of the freezer, it's going to be ice, it's going to be hard like a rock, you won't be able to warm it up. So then the Chayyadim said, they said the Chayyadim used to have a wine cellar. So he says, and there were no lights in the wine cellar. So let's say the guy realized that the first day Yontif is going to need wine for the second day Yontif. So if he goes to the wine cellar late in the afternoon on the first day Yontif to bring up the wine for the second day, that's hachana, that's not right. Now I'll do hachana on the first day for the second day. So he says he should bring up the wine earlier on the first day Yontif. So at least on the level of the rice, you have the heter of hoyl. If you're going to bring up the wine early on the first day Yontif, so you may decide to drink the wine today on Yontif. So even though you don't think anybody's going to drink it today, that's a machlekes rabbi rabchis, then we pass can hoyl. That holy miklech chazale hashtanami chazale, so that's considered the hachana today for today. You had duchening, the minig by the Ashkenazim is difficult. Minig, we only duchen on Yontif, only duchen on Musaf to Yontif. The Dina Mishnah is supposed to duchen Shachris and Musaf. We only duchen on Musaf. So a lot of people don't realize that duchening has to be ponim keneged ponim. Some people are so nervous they don't want to look at the kohen's hands, and they turn around, they turn away, they turn the back to the kohen. So the Gemara says that not bechlal brocha, brocha is only chal if you're facing the kohanim. In the days of the Gemara, there was a practice that they used to recite psukim, and the kohen would say yivarechecha, the tzibur would say a pasuk, they would say Hashem, they would say another pasuk. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says that in the Gemara raises an issue. How can you pay attention to the Kohanim Duchening and say Pasuk at the same time? So the Gemara says in Sukkot, we're all geniuses and we can do it. We can pay attention to the Kohanim and say the Pesukim at the same time. So the two things that Bizman is no longer geniuses. We shouldn't say the Pesukim because it can't be Mechavan. It's just not going to work. Some people have, their Amos says that Taisus, Amos quoting from a Taisus, somebody has to call out Kohanim. If you have two or more Kohanim, you have to call it. You have to ask them for the bracha. You have to call out Kohanim. If there's only one Kohen, so we paskin in the Bavli, that you don't call out Kohen. You don't call out Kohanim, and you don't call out Kohen. It just goes up and he duchens on his own. Many of the Chazonim think that they discovered America. So if there's one Kohen, so they'll scream, Kohen. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara is paskin. The Yerushalmi has one opinion like that. But that's not the accepted opinion. You don't call out anything. So the question is, who calls out Kohanim? The Chazan calls out Kohanim. How does it fit into the Chazaras Hashatz? So Taisa says a different person. The Shamus and the Shul calls out Kohanim. Or in Eretz Yisrael, the Rosh Hashiva, or the Gabbai, whoever, someone else calls out Kohanim. So the Ramah says that the meaning is that the Chazan says, Alekem Gazen, Bachin, Babrach, Mishalaz, Bator, Amar, the Avin, Kohanim, Ankur, Hashem, Kohamur. He says the whole paragraph as a piyut. He says it every day. When you're not duchen, he says it every day. So he says it today. And he says kohanim. So that kohanim is the tzibui. It's really part of the nusach of the tefillah. But the kohanim take it as a tzibui that they should come. So many shuls and practices, when a chazan says kohanim, everybody speaks out, anka deshecha kohamur. So it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. Kohanim anka deshecha kohamur means, as it says in Chumash, the common is nonsense. The Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi here in the shul, in Broya Shul. So every Erev Yontif, after Shachas, it would always learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a Sifah too, and somebody would say a Kaddish Der Rabbanim, one of the Abelim would say. So every Yontif he would say, it doesn't make any sense and don't say it. And people didn't listen to him. The people who screamed it out never came to shul in the morning. They never heard him say the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't make any sense and there is no such meaning. Yeah, one of the issues that the Kohanim don't observe is they're supposed to hold their hands keneged haksefayim or higher. If they hold it lower, it's all the whole thing is a bracha lebatola. They're not yotzei anything. Yeah, where does this bracha come from? Shekdushan b'kedushos hashalayim b'tzivana lebrachas ham yisrael b'ahavo. The Gemara says that Gemara seems that one of the Chachamim introduced this bracha. Doesn't seem that it existed from the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. This was introduced by Zman HaTanoim v'Hamaroim. So the Netziv in the Shiurim in Valojin, and Maroim Esoda has a Shiurim. The Netziv raised the question, why isn't there a Birchas HaMitzvah? Everybody should say Birchas HaMitzvah before they duchen. So he answers with this cloud from the Baal HaMor and the Rabbeinu Yoina and the first daf in Brachas, that since the Takanas Chamin was that duchen should take place in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, so whenever a mitzvah is fulfilled either in the form of a bracha, or within the framework of brachas, the Chachamim would have a misak and an additional brichas hamitzvah in advance. So duchening is always done in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, within the framework of a series of brachas. So mikra din, there's no need for a brichas hamitzvah. So that was one of the Chachamim. They asked each one of the Tanoim and Amoraim who lived to a ripe old age, Bameh HaRachta Yomim. that one of them said that he always said a bracha before he betuchen. What's the big deal? Everybody says a bracha. So the Nitziv says, no, apparently they didn't say a bracha because it doesn't require a bracha. The duchening took place in the middle of Chazar Sajat. It was for a different reason that he said. He felt that it's not right to give a bracha to Basav Adam without first giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he said, but it's not really mitam the takana de rabbanon of Birchas HaMitzvah. We have a mitzvah in the Chumash that counts Sfiras HaMitzvah between Pesach and Shavuos. The Gemara seems to have a discussion whether Sfiras HaMitzvah b'zman hazeh deraisa de rabbanon. Maybe it's only deraisa b'zman shebeis hamikdash or yekayim, and they actually brought the minchas ha'omer. And the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach was Ban Shein Beis HaMikdash Kam, maybe it's only the Rabbanon. So in the Shulchan Aruch, that's the accepted opinion. The Sfiras HaMoed Bizman Hazeh is only mid the Rabbanon. We have a few nafkeminis la'alocha based on that. From the Rambam, in many of the writings of the Gaonim and the Rav Sadia Gaon Sefer Mitzvah, it would appear that they hold that Sfiras HaMoed Bizman Hazeh is the Raisa. What exactly is the Machloikah? So usually the way they say is, Taisus is of the opinion that Hakrabas Minchas HaOmer is Mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer. So if there's no Hakrabas Minchas HaOmer, so the Sfiras HaOmer is only the Rabban. And the Rambam, the Goyim are of the opinion that Tezayin Nissen is Mechayiv in Sfiras HaOmer. The Chumash says, Meyom HaVeyachem Asa Matnufa, that's just a description of the day. But it's not that Hakrabas Minchas HaOmer, Tezayin Nissen is Mechayiv in Minchas HaOmer. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was not, that's the way we usually say it. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was not happy with that idea. He thought, how can that be? What about Bizman Shabbos Mikdash HaYikayim 1 year for some reason or another they didn't bring Minchas HaOmer? So the whole Sfiras HaOmer is only going to be the Rabbanon. He thought that it's hard to believe that that's the pshat. So he thought that the chiyuv to bring Minchas HaOmer is mechayiv to count Sfiras HaOmer, even if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Bizman HaMikdash, even if for some reason or another they didn't actually, the poor moms, they didn't bring the Minchas HaOmer, but there was a chiyuv to bring Minchas HaOmer. So what's the machlokes where the Bizman HaZeh, the Rabbanon, or the Raisa? So he said, this is the old machlokes, but the Kid Shel Osilava, lo Kid Shel Osilava. If you hold Kid Shel Osilava, then there's a mok, then the Mokam HaMikdash retains its Kedusha, then there's a chiyuv to bring Minchas HaOmer. But we can't do it, because the Arabs are there, they don't let us. Honest, Rahman HaPatre. But there's a chiyuv because Kid Shel Osilava. So the Rambam, the Shittasa, the Rambam Paskins, Makam HaMikdash, is Kitcha, Lasi Lavai. So the Shittasa, the Rambam seems to hold pretty clearly that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is the Raisa. And the other Rishonim would think that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbanon. He thought they probably hold like Kitcha, Lasi Lavai. So there isn't a Chiyuv to be Makra Minchas HaOmer. But if there would be a Chiyuv, he thought even if Lamaisa, the Poel Mamish, they didn't actually Makra the Minchas HaOmer, they would still be obligated to count Sfiras HaOmer Menatur. Just this morning we were learning the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rav Yoh. If a person says the Bracha, Shekir HaShanah B'Mitzvos B'Tzivon Ol Sfiras HaOmer, he thought that today is the 18th day of the Sfira. Then it comes out today is the 19th day of the Sfira. So when he was saying the Bracha, he had a mind to say a different day. So the Rav Yoh says that this is an issue. What's the issue? The Gemara at the end of the first parak in Brachas has a shayla. Person has a cup of wine. He thought it's a cup of wine. And he started off saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Al Das, intending to end off Bori Pri HaGofen. And then it turns out that it's a cup of Coca-Cola. And if he would have said Bori Pri HaGofen, he wouldn't be able to say anything. It would have been a Brachal Matol. In the middle, he smells it and he realizes that it's not wine. And he switches. And the Nusach HaBracha is perfect. Shakon Nibidvar is perfect. But when he said the Shema Malchus at the beginning, the first half of the bracha, he intended to end off Bar Piagofen, which if he would have ended off like that, he wouldn't have been Yotze. So that's a suffix in the Gemara. What's the din? Are you Yotze or not? How do we pass on Allah Kalam Aisa? So Birchas Hanan and Birchas HaMitzvah is all the Rabbanon, so suffix brachas lahakel. If you're not sure, so you're Yotze. Let's say the person ate a whole meal and he ate Kedei Svi and he's Mechuyif to bench Menat Torah. And then he starts saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Lokeinu Melech HaOlam, he's going to say Bar Nefashis. Then he realized, what part of the fashion? I say, Hazan HaSa'ilam. So Hazan HaSa'ilam, that's a bracha deraisa. So then, it wouldn't be good. You wouldn't be makel over there. You wouldn't say, Safik brachas lachem. When you're dealing with a bracha deraisa, it'll be Safik brachas lahachmer. That's how the Taisus says on the Dab. So the Rav Yoh writes, the mazal is that Bizman HaZeh Sfiras HaOmer is only the Rabbanon. So since it's only the Rabbanon, so if you said the bracha intending to count 18, it's really 19, you corrected yourself, it's okay. But Bisman Hamigdosh, that's fearsome, used to be deraisa. If you said the bracha thinking it's the wrong day, then you corrected it, you would have to say over the whole bracha. So Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik is quoted as having been bothered with the kasha. The whole thing doesn't make sense. The Nusach HaBracha is the same every single day. The difference is, what day do you say? Is it 18? Is it 19? But the bracha is the same, so it's not the same as the Gemara. Gemara is talking. He said the Shema Malchus, thinking it's going to end up Bar Pi Agafin, then he really ends off Shahakon Liyibidvah. But here he ends off exactly the same. But it's 18 and 19. What's the whole issue? Why did the Rav Yor raise an issue? So this kasha, the Rav Elbel Soloveitchik was bothered with. The Bir Hagro asks the kasha on the siman, on that siv, and he gives you the answer. He said the answer is that the Rav Yor Shitosa. The Rav Yor's practice was that he said Shehayim. He didn't say Kher Macham Al Sfir So Omer, and everybody says Amen, and then he'd say Hayom Yamechet Ba'Omer. He would say Al Sfir So Omer Shehayim Yamechet Ba'Omer, and then everybody says Amen at the end. The whole mitzvah is fulfilled in the form of a bracha. So the last phrase in the bracha is going to be different. Is he going to say Hayom Shmainu Asayom? Or is he going to say Hayom Tisha Asayom? So the end of the bracha is different. That's what the Bir Hagro says. That this Rav Yor is Lishitosai. We have a minig that we observe Miktsas Avelus during Sfira. Rav Soloveitchik used to say the Shiva, the Shloshim, and the Yud Beis Chodesh. He said Miktsas Avelus means the mildest form of Avelus. So we only observe Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh. We don't observe more chomer than that. So whatever would be mutter in Yud Beis Chodesh would certainly be mutter during Sfira. The early Achrayim have like that. I think they quote part of the era says like that, this idea. So what's the din taka? A person is an Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh and he was never married before. He wants to get married. So Maisim B'chol Yom, we permit Yishen Luisha Bodim, we permit them to get married and have a regular wedding. So why don't we permit weddings during the Sfira? If it's only Avelus like Yud Beis Chodesh, why don't we permit weddings? So the Achrayim work on that kasha, and they answer that that's another minig. The minig not to take a haircut is Achigar B'chaver, that's like Yud Beis Chodesh, you don't take a haircut until you look awful. And the minig not to get married is a different minig. The Behetiv says, just like there's a minig, you don't get married, many people try to avoid getting married. You want to get married at the beginning of the month when the moon is getting bigger and bigger, so the love for each other should grow, like the moon, I guess. So to this a minig, it's not a lucky time to get married because all the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died, or whatever the story, they were killed, and they died during this period. That's where they say in the name of Rav Henkin. The Gemara says, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died, Ashalanog, Kovit Zebizeh. So everybody asks, how can it be? Rabbi Kiva is the one who said, after the Racha Kamecha Zeh Kal Kodol Baturis, is Tamidim died because Ashal Anoga covered Zeh Bezeh. So Rav Henkin is quoted as having said that, nah, that's ridiculous. They were killed in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Everybody knows what happened. The Gemara was afraid to say that they were killed. So the Gemara said the most ridiculous reason, Ashal Anoga covered Zeh. That was a code phrase. It means they were killed by the Romans in the uprising. And everybody knew that it can't make it shoot them. So now everybody gives the Russian, how can it be? And they give all kinds of explanations. Rav Henkin thought that it's not true. Rav Soloveitchik thought that during the Avelus of Sfira, based on a passage in the Zohar, there is an element of Avelus min HaTorah. Why? Because the Zohar has a famous line that well, sometimes a person is tummy, so he needs Shivinikim, he needs 7 days. But a whole nation is tummy, so he needs Shivinikim 7 weeks to be Matari yourself. And then you say in the tefillah, that you say after Sfira Saima, the Chassidish tefillah, that the purpose of the Sfira Saima is Taharenu Metumasenu Miklupasenu, to be Metairos. That's the Shiva Nikim, is to be Metairos. So, and whenever a person is Tami, he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, he's restricted from coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simcha is always connected, Smachtim Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. When you're in the presence of the Rabbanu Shlom, you're in a state of Simcha. A person is Tomei, has to stay away from the Beis HaMikdosh. So that, by definition, is an Inyan of Avelus. There is no Simcha, there's an Inyan of Avelus over there. So that's why there's an element of Avelus min HaTorah during the Sfira period. That's why the Zohar has an idea that that you shouldn't say halal sholem during the sfirah period because everybody is in avelos. So that's one of the issues that they raise regarding saying halal sholem on Yom Ha'atzmaut or Yom Yerushalayim. It's in the middle of the sfirah period. Gemara has in the end of Maseches Megillah, Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana, we should learn Hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres b'Atzeres, Hilchos Chag b'Chag. So there's a big Maseches Pesachim, 120 blot Gemara, starts from Beis, goes to Kuf Chaf Aleph, should try to finish the whole Masechta. First perek in Chagiga is about Riyah Chagiga Simcha, you should knock off the first perek on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, then on Pesach, there's a special inyan, the second night Pesach, on perek Reb Yishmoel. And Menachah is all about Hakrovas Mincha Soim, it has a dinim of Sfira Soim there. Then it's always good to learn Maseches Beitza on a Yontif, 40 blot Gemara, it goes from Dav Beis to Dav Mem. And then Maseches Maikot, all about the dinim of Chalamai, that's important. The Mishnah says, Vikrabas Hamabazas Hamoyadois is going to be punished. And Rashi says, you have to wear, it goes on Chalamai. Rashi says, it goes on Chalamai. You have to wear a nice, the God the Mechubadim on Chol HaMoed to observe properly. Okay, enjoy the Yontif. We may yet bring the Korban Pesach and the Beis HaMikdash. There's still a chance. Still have a couple of days left. Have some money here that doesn't belong to me. Okay, Doc, this is yours. Somebody wanted three svarim, so I only gave one so far. I have to bring the other two.